Welcome to the Linux Down Under podcast, and this is your host, David Clark, podcasting to you from sunny Queensland in Australia. This podcast is dedicated to those who use Linux, work with Linux, or are getting to know Linux. With a bit of an Aussie perspective thrown in, the focus will always be to ask, why Linux? Hello and welcome to episode 2016-0410. My thanks to Tony Fox, who gave me a bit of a nudging email in December last year, just asking if I was still doing the podcast and basically saying how much he enjoyed them. So after 14 months, here I am back again, and will continue to keep the faith and promote Linux as much as I can and give back to the community as much as I can from this wonderful operating system that basically has kept me in a job and in a hobby that I have loved since first touching Unix, or Xenix as it was known back then, in 1987. Thanks again, Tony. When you do a podcast or send out a newsletter, it can sometimes feel a bit like the Voyager satellite, which they launched into space in 1977, and it basically carried a whole bunch of messages and things, and it also was designed to give us all information about the things it passed as it travelled out of our galaxy over time, and I think it's going to take 300 years for it to get to some other destination. I certainly won't be around on Earth for that, unless they find some new anti-aging thing. But it's just interesting to have that feeling that you just launch this thing out into the internet cosmos and you just wonder where it lands, who hears it, or whether it just falls into the deafness of the internet space where no one can hear you scream. Well, fast forward 13 plus months, and I'm now running Fedora 23 with the KDE Plasma desktop. You'll recall in previous podcasts I've talked about being a fan of KDE since I've been using Linux, essentially. It has come with its challenges. In throwing in a little more complexity as well is the fact that I'm running dual monitors. I have an older graphics card in my older setup here, and it certainly has had me considering whether I should run back to Fedora 21,
my precious,
or changing my desktop to Mate, Cinnamon, GNOME, or a different desktop. But essentially it's all stabilized now since I've done a recent update of Plasma and KDE. Again, this is a little war inside my own brain, in my own little setup here, so it's not meant to be a slur against the Plasma desktop or any of the good work the KDE people do, but there are some idiosyncrasies of the setup. For instance, the bottom panel icons, would sometimes you'd click on them and it was like the thing was frozen. You could use any of the apps that are open, you could click and use the mouse anywhere, but if you tried to get anything on the bottom panel, which is a bar across the bottom in my setup, you couldn't do the auto launcher, you couldn't do any of those sort of things. So it was kind of annoying, but there's a little script that I found on the web and sort of retrofitted it to my own needs. I had to make sure though I had a terminal screen open somewhere on the desktop that I could at least get to so that I could run this command. But I haven't needed that since updating KDE and Plasma to the later versions. So again, this is more of an issue for me with my rig. I guess it's a bit of a lesson too that if you let your hardware get just that bit too old and then you go and put the brand spanking new operating system and bits on it, you can have teething problems, we'll just put it that way. Either way, I'm sticking with it and onward and upward with Fedora 23 with the Plasma desktop. As always with Linux, you're never stuck for one particular desktop or one particular application, and that is the beauty of Linux itself. You're never locked in, you have choice, which a lot of operating systems won't give you. Another major milestone that's happened in our household is my wife is now running Fedora 21 on her desktop. And she was running Windows 7 and using it for things like Facebook, general web browsing, a bit of pigeon communication, and using Thunderbird. There were a few crash issues, and despite trying different things, they persisted. So my wife asked me, "Do you have this sort of issue on your desktop?" And I said, "No." And she indicated, "Well, why can't I have Linux?" I knew I loved that woman, so she is now running Linux on her desktop, and no problems with the applications. And because the applications basically have the same look and feel as they do with their differing operating system counterparts, for her it's just been a more stable platform doing exactly what she was doing before. So that's been a milestone for us, and our household essentially is now not running Windows anywhere except in a virtual machine on my desktop occasionally to run some MyOb each year for tax time. One major hurdle that I did strike going from Windows to Linux had nothing to do with either operating systems, but by a wonderful little product from Apple called iTunes. For the life of me, to this very moment, I cannot comprehend in my wildest imaginations why they don't have a Linux version of iTunes. It just simply defies logic. So I was left with a choice. I could try and get iTunes to run under Wine. Wine is the Linux Windows application emulator, and I've used Wine quite extensively to run quite a few things in the past. iTunes ain't one of them, and it's not going to work. It didn't work on Fedora 21, and it didn't work on Fedora 23. So I wasted a lot of time there. I then looked at GPotter. GPotter is a great little product. However, I did find when I tried to do some synchronizing and things like that, I started getting Python error messages. Now, Python is a language that's also installed to Linux, and it runs a lot of the desktop things, and when you get little problems with certain updates and versions and cross dates and so forth, if you're not a Python expert and you can't find enough information online to fix it, you have to abandon all hope and let the ship sink. So GPotter failed for me, and GTKPod left a little bit wanting. So while I was crying like a banshee, I found the product, Banshee. Banshee, I must thoroughly recommend for anyone wanting to run an iPod plugged into a Linux box. Banshee was perfect. I plugged in the iPod into the Linux desktop. I ran up Banshee. Banshee found the iPod, and given my wife actually likes to listen to podcasts as well as the music library, Banshee found the existing podcasts on the iPod, and also then allowed me to start going and setting up RSS feeds for podcasts, putting them back into Banshee, and then can update them onto the iPod itself. So that is the solution if you have an iPod, a Linux box, and a hope and a prayer of trying to get them to talk to each other without that wonderful little product called iTunes. Well, that about covers my shenanigans for the last 13 to 14 months. I do apologize that it's been a while, and I will have more to say in future episodes.